always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Monday's edition of the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show here at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL, 4:06 in the p.m. Central Time, June 17th, 2024. We are now in the second half of June. Hope everyone out there had a happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads, the grandpas, the uncles, all the dads in people's lives, all the dads who have gone before us, all the dads who are yet to come. Chris, hope you had a good Father's Day weekend. Great to see you back here.
I did have a good Father's Day weekend. Did a little campaigning and was in Washington County at the Moses Austin Festival, Tim. Enjoying the sights and the sounds of small town America, fair America. It's what America's all about. Got a funnel cake. My first one of the year, bought some little knickknacks. I bought a, these seem to be the things now. This is like the third fair that I've been to, but they're canisters.
Yes.
That you can put warm and cold stuff in.
Okay.
And they have designs on the outside of them, of course, but now they have speakers on the bottom of them that you can play. And of course, you disconnect them when you wash it and everything. So I bought one of those. So just enjoying small town America, Washington, Missouri, Moses Austin Festival.
Very cool. Very cool. My daughters are the masters of the flask. They're both athletes. And so I feel like these canisters, I feel like a different canister shows up in our house every week. And, you know, the original was the Hydro Flask, right? Mm-hmm. The Hydro Flask. And then I even have one of those. One of my daughters got me one for my golf bag. And then the new craze is the Stanley.
Is
this new Stanley's. And so there's a
give me the Yeti, man. That thing
there's
is.
Yetis. That's right. There's Yetis.
I'll take the Yeti anyway.
Yetis, Hydro Flask. There's Arctic, which is a kind of a Yeti knockoff. There's another brand I have. Anyway, yeah, there's a million of those. So, yep, and it's a perfect time to have those because, man, folks, the mercury here in the heartland is definitely well over the 90-degree mark. So make sure you stay cool this week. Check on your elderly loved ones or anybody who has trouble in the heat and keep them pets indoors because they automatically are wearing fur coats. And so they're generally pretty hot on days like this. So, but it is summertime. It's not global warming. It's called June. And, you know, we had a late long spring and so now it's time for the heat. The heat is on election season. Chris, we got to remind everybody next week we have two fantastic events. We have the Saving America event 2024, the economy and the courts, featuring two of Heritage's greats, Joel Griffith and Zach Smith. That's going to be at the St. Charles Funny Bone at the streets of St. Charles, sponsored by West News Magazine, Mid Rivers News Magazine, the St. Louis Young Republicans, Tuesday, June 25th. Tickets, details, newstalkstl.com. Free event, but ticketed event. You have to get a ticket because we got to make sure we don't oversell on the seats. This event will likely sell out. Please get your tickets. I know you've been waiting. It's summertime, blah, blah, blah. Get on newstalkstl.com and pick that up. And then, Chris, 2 days later, you and I are going to be out at Johnny's Hideout, getting ready for the big debate watch party, broadcast 4 to 6. Watch party starts 7:30 at the pregame, 8 o'clock. Is game time for Trump v. Biden.
Yeah, as I said, I am very, very excited about that. We're going to have a great turnout, a great crowd. Always love to see the listeners. And I think this is must-see TV. This is the earliest debate ever in presidential history. President Biden had another freeze-up moment again the other day. This is his second in about a week. And so I think everyone will be looking at him on June 27th, his debate performance, to see can he stand up there for 90 minutes and show that he has the stamina to go another 4 years. I know his handlers and people in the White House have to be absolutely terrified. And I'm going to put a prediction out here that I think within the next week or so, we're not going to see the president very much. I think they're going to be doing debate prep and rest. That's going to be his schedule.
They're going to have to. If you've seen the videos that have gone viral, Joe Biden often does this thing where he gets lost and he just starts wandering off the stage, off of the event, off of the whatever's going on, and they have to lead him back. He's got this catatonic type stare.
Yeah.
And so it's one thing to get him juiced up on Adderall or 12,000 milligrams of B vitamins and have him blow through a teleprompter speech over about 50 minutes. Chris, it's another thing to have to debate Donald Trump where you don't necessarily know what the next thing is that you're supposed to say in response to either something that the moderators say mm-hmm. or that Trump says.
Now, I do think in this debate format, it does fit President Biden better than it does Joe Biden or President Trump. There's not going to be an audience in this debate. We know that Donald Trump loves to feed off the audience. The moderators will have the opportunity to cut people's mics after their allotted time for speaking. So the interruptions may happen from Donald Trump and from President Biden as well, but we may not even hear them. But still, as you said, Tim, 90 minutes, and President Biden has had these two freeze-ups. The latest was this weekend at this L.A. fundraiser. Barack Obama had to lead him off the stage. He had a Mitch McConnell moment. And the talk is getting very, very serious. And we talked about this earlier this year, that Joe Biden may not be the nominee for president of the United States for the Democrats. And that talk is getting real, real serious now. He's at 37% in the polls. That's lower than Trump was at any time in his presidency.
And I think they will do everything. The Democrats, the deep state, the media that protects Joe Biden, makes excuses for Joe Biden, sympathizes with Joe Biden, and props up Joe Biden on a daily basis. They're going to do everything they can on this debate to make sure that nothing catastrophic happens. And I'm not saying anything catastrophic is going to happen. I wish zero harm on President Biden. I just don't think he and his state at his age should be running for president. But if something does catastrophic happen, because remember, this is not Joe Biden just getting to read something for 45 or 50 minutes. There's going to be pauses. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to stop talking at some point. He's going to have to listen to questions. He'll know the topics, but he's not going to know exactly what's going to say. He's going to have to respond to Trump. And if something catastrophic happens where Biden has one of these catatonic stages where he goes off into Never Never Land, or God forbid, he literally starts wandering around the stage, Chris, that could be the end of this campaign. And then they're going to have to do something to flip him out at the convention or something.
Yeah, I think if something catastrophic happens during the debates, I think you're going to see the media leave him in droves. You're going to see the talks more open about replacing Joe Biden. I think you're going to hear more talk, probably not so much about Kamala Harris because her polls are lower than Joe Biden's polls, but I think you'll start hearing talk of Gavin Newsom once again. I think you'll start hearing talk of Pritzker there in Illinois. Mm-hmm. There's talk of the governor of Michigan. I can't think of her name right now.
Gretchen Whitmer.
And I think also another person they would probably throw in too in that mix is Wes Moore, who is the mm-hmm. governor mm-hmm. of Maryland, who's really making a name for himself. He's always on Meet the Press and on the Sunday shows. He's a West Point graduate, very articulate, did very well with this bridge collapse, getting that up in 3 months. So I think he could be a competent leader for them as well. And he has that plus of being an African-American.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think short-term or long-term, he is an extremely desirable candidate for a Democratic Party that otherwise has a bunch of boobs and bozos in it, right? I mean, Newsom, as presidential as Newsom might look, he's kind of out of central casting, almost a caricature of a presidential figure. He's got a horrible record in California. Mm. People continue to leave it in droves. Whitmer is not a very likable person. They called her the Wicked Witch of the North back during COVID. Pritzker doesn't really translate to television. Not the most telegenic guy, although he's got billions. I think you're right about Wes Moore. He is the potential future. And if he plays his cards right and doesn't act like a full out left wing liberal lunatic, I think he could fool enough people most of the time.
Yeah, and he will. And as I said, those candidates that I mentioned, I think they are the ones they're touting as their bench. And if you look at the Whitmer up in Michigan. That's an important swing state. Mm-hmm. I think they would look at that. California, you know, you remember when Gavin Newsom was doing his presidential tour earlier this year, and he did the appearance on Sean Hannity's show on Fox News. He came across as very reasonable, moderate, in a sense. And that's what a lot of people worry about Gavin Newsom. Even though you look at his record and you look at the results in California and they're horrible, he has the ability to be chameleon-like and come across as moderate. And you know, not all people listen and watch the news like we do and digest this stuff. So he could be another Bill Clinton slick Willie.
If you want to see somebody surgically take apart Newsom, go back and watch the DeSantis-Newsom debate that they had last fall. And Newsom did a great job. He's got his talking points. He's got the slick back, greasy Gavin hair. He sounded really good for about 20 minutes. And then DeSantis, who is a really good debater, about 40 minutes into that debate, Newsom ran out of gas and just didn't have, because DeSantis just kept pounding him on how bad California was, how good Florida was. But you're going to have somebody who can go toe-to-toe with a guy like Newsom on that. Chris, on the international front, as always happens on Monday, we always have to unpack the latest catastrophes, chaos, and crises around the globe. We had plenty of those, unfortunately, that happened. The headline this afternoon on Fox News is that Israel and Hezbollah, not Hamas, Hezbollah now are on the brink of all-out war. Good thing we've got former U.S. Senator, Chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council, Jim Talent, to discuss that and many other things with us at 425.
And that's one thing that Israel has tried to avoid ever since this conflict with Hamas, is a two-front war with Hezbollah, who I think are based in Lebanon, and Hamas is there in the Palestinian territories. Israel doesn't want to fight a two-front war, and if that happens, that's going to make that situation over there even more volatile. And it's interesting this is happening when Saudi Arabia has been rumored to be close to a deal with Israel, a peace deal. It makes me wonder, is Hezbollah trying to throw a monkey wrench in this by attacking Israel to try to stop a peace deal between the Arabs and Saudi Arabia, and Israel.
Mm-hmm. Very, very complicated, complex part of the world. It is a five-dimensional chess set, if there can be such a thing. And we'll have Jim Talent at 425 to help us unpack that. Also against the auspices on the other front over with Russia, Ukraine, Vladimir Putin scheduled to visit with Little Rocket Man Kim Jong-un. We haven't heard about him much lately, but you got to remember the rest of the world doesn't just go on hiatus. If there's some hot spots, there's a lot of hot spots. Putin's going to be visiting with Kim Jong-un, discussing a military cooperation agreement between Russia and North Korea. That sounds like the pit of hell.
Which is very interesting, because North Korea has been testing some missiles and a spy satellite recently, and both of them have failed. So if they're looking for Russia to be a customer, you would hope that the equipment that they are testing works. And so I find this visit very curious, especially with these notable failures North Korea's military has had recently.
Yep. What is Putin up to now? We'll find out that from Jim Talent as well. And Chris, we've learned it's very, very dangerous to be living in the bloodbath known as Joe Biden's border catastrophe. Chris, we had another horrible story following up on the heels of Laken Riley, a mom of five murdered in Maryland at the hands of someone who should not have been in this country. Yet another illegal alien murder spree.
Yeah, we're learning that this perpetrator did the same exact crime in El Salvador, where he murdered a woman. And, you know, we've said many, many times here, and it's not hyperbole, and it's just not being overly political, but the Democrats, Mayorkas, Biden, all of the Democrats with their open border policies have blood on their hands when these type of policies happen. You know, as we've noted many, many times, there aren't just people coming from South or Central America in our country anymore. They're coming from all over the world. And for our borders to be this open in an age of terrorism, it's just, it's unheard of. It's hard to believe that these people would be this irresponsible.
So, lots of huge news to unpack with Jim Talon at 425. At 525, of course, we'll have Susie Moore, Deputy Managing Editor at Red State, frequent substitution host, commentarian, and contributor here at Newstalk STL as well. Tons of major news at redstate.com today. Chris, at 445, we'll have Chris's Corner today.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I was watching the Sunday shows, of course, so you all don't have to. And one of the Sunday shows is making light that this is the 50th anniversary of Woodward and Bernstein's nominal work, All the President's Men, the book that described the Watergate break-in. And I was just thinking how ironic that is, that we've talked about here many times where there are Pulitzer Prizes, accolades waiting for the enterprising young journalist who wants to blow the lid off the Biden crime family. There's not a lot of legwork that needs to be done. The House Select Committee has done all the paperwork, has all the bank records. The New York Post and Hunter's laptop has other information there. So the work is there if there was a journalist that wanted to do that. And I just thought that was so incredible that Watergate is the big scandal of the 20th century, big political scandal. And you've got something with the Biden crime family that makes Watergate look like just nothing.
A Tupperware party, as we used to say back in the day.
Yeah.
A very insightful Chris's Corner at 445. You're not going to want to miss that. Followed by the speaker's stump speech at 507. Masks made no difference. I know you're probably all sick and tired of me talking about COVID, but I'm going to keep talking about it because for 4 years, we were subjected to ridiculous requirements and mandates. And if you notice, the left, the media, they don't even say the word COVID anymore. Everything they did was wrong. This was courtesy of another follow-up study by the New York Times. Masks made no difference, so let's stop the stupid and never do it again. That is the show. Big jam-packed show for today. We also have the highlights of producer Joey V as well here as well. How'd you do this weekend?
Oh, wonderful. You know, my good friend Todd Showalter, Saturdays at 5, the Right Man, Right Mind Show, he gave me a Cracker Barrel gift card for my birthday, and I thought, let me spend this on my dad. But if you've ever been in a Cracker Barrel in a weekend, it is just hell on earth. It's terrible. So my girl, she said, you know what? Let's do curbside. Let's do carryout. And it was perfect.
Nice.
I dropped off my pancakes and my sausages right in the backseat of my car and went to Dad's house. We had a wonderful breakfast, and he didn't have to pay for it or make it.
Congrats.
What a great son.
Congrats. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Number one son.
I sent him a Venmo request for $20. I'm still waiting for him to send me that money, but we'll get square eventually.
Number one son in the Vasevich family there. All right. Very good. Happy Father's Day to my dad and my father-in-law as well. They had a great Father's Day weekend, too. Hope you all had a great Father's Day weekend and with your loved dads in your lives. All right. We've got to get to a break here because we have, as you could tell from our first segment here, lots to get to with Senator Jim Talent. We'll unpack everything that we discussed and likely lots more as we go around the world in 12 minutes with the former U.S. Senator and now chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council, Jim Talent. Next, Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced he has disbanded his war cabinet with no plans to replace the coalition. It comes just a week after cabinet member Benny Gantz left along with two other members. The coalition was initially created just days after the October 7th attack to manage the campaign against Hamas. Netanyahu is expected to get final approval for future war decisions from the wider security cabinet. Meanwhile, Israel's military says it will be pausing all fighting during daylight hours to get long-awaited humanitarian aid into Gaza.
428 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. And let's get more information about this from our next guest.
Former U.S. Senator Jim Talent and chairman of the Reagan Institute.
I'm watching this and just wondering, you know, who's running the show.
This Jim Talent segment is brought to you by Royal Banks of Missouri.
Senator Talent, welcome to the show. First off, I want to ask you about that cabinet shakeup there, Netanyahu dismissing his cabinet in light of this news that we hear today about Hezbollah possibly wanting to start another front of the war with Israel. I want to ask you, do you think that Hezbollah has started this action because there was reportedly a pending Saudi Arabia Israeli peace deal on the table and they are trying to disrupt this?
No, I don't think so. I think they've stepped up their attacks on Israel because they think they're winning. I think Hamas thinks it's winning because she all along has been not to win on the battlefield, but to win in the court of international opinion, which they believe will then force Israel to quit. And they have been greatly aided in that perception by the Biden administration's, and I'll be charitable, inconsistent support for Israel. It's actually prolonging the war. I think I said right after the attack on October 7th that the one thing Israel needed from the United States, the most important thing, was support in international forums like the UN. And the Biden administration, for about a month, did that, and ever since has been undermining Israel. And so the war is dragging on. I think Israel's going to win in Gaza, but I think that we're going to see now an expansion of the war in the Northern Front. And our policy has contributed to that.
Senator, the biggest headline today regarding this, and there's many headlines regarding the ongoing conflict, is that we may see an opening of a two-front war, something Israel, you know, wanted to avoid but knew was probably very likely. That was discussed at the very early days. Israel and Hezbollah, many news outlets reporting, are on the brink, whatever that means, of an all-out war. What can you tell us about the actual facts of that situation, and how do you think Israel will respond?
Well, Lebanon is pretty effectively a satrap of Hezbollah, which is a much more powerful Iranian proxy than Hamas. They have anywhere, and estimates vary, but 120,000 to 150,000 rockets and drones. Some of them are precision guided. Some of them are very good in longer range. They also actually have an army, and an army with experience fighting in Syria. They're well funded. And it was always a possibility that this was going to happen. Now, again, firm American support, like Biden did in the opening days when he had aircraft carriers off, if you remember that, in the Eastern Med, that was a signal that, look, if to Hezbollah, if you attack Israel, we're going to go after you in southern Lebanon. Now, what Hezbollah has done is they violated the UN Security Council resolution, I think it's 1701, that says, okay, you can't have any forces south of the Latani River, which is, I want to say, about 13 or 15 kilometers north of Israel. Well, they violated that, and they've been shooting short-range rockets into Israel, and as a result, like there's like 80,000 Israelis that have had to leave their homes. When it's a small country, that'd be equivalent to about 3 million Americans being displaced. So, and it's just getting worse all the time, and Israel can't put up with it. So I think there's going to be a complex question of when. I'm sure Israel would prefer to finish in Gaza first, and they're making great progress. I mean, the IDF is doing a great job in Gaza, and I expect them to wrap that up, and then I expect them to turn north unless Hezbollah has a change of heart. Hmm. And we, of course, are not doing anything to influence them in that direction, at least anything I know about. I think they waited to see what we would do, and they saw weakness, and so they're getting more and more aggressive.
Senator, there's a peace deal on the table here. The United States have signed off on it. Israel seems to have signed off on it. Hamas has told their Arab mediators they want Israel forces to withdraw from territory alongside Egypt by the end of the first week after the deal is signed, and to completely withdraw from Gaza and announce a permanent ceasefire before the group releases any additional hostages in a second phase. Are these demands Israel can live with?
Absolutely not, and Hamas knows that because it's a demand that Israel lose. And this is consistent with what I was saying before. And we know this now from the text messages from Sinwar that the New York Times reported. They want civilians to die in large numbers because their whole strategy is to force Israel to surrender, in essence. And so they're not going to accept any kind of ceasefire agreement short of that. I think this will be like the eighth or ninth that they rejected. And yet we keep going back there, and Blinken keeps running over there to negotiate, basically against ourselves, which just increases the contempt they have for us. I mean, it's just, fellas, you know, I'm singing off the same song sheet, and it's because our policy has been so bad that, you know, we have, they view these attempts by Blinken as a sign that they are winning, that we are going to force Israel to fold, which is not going to happen because this really is an existential struggle for Israel. They're not going to just agree to cease to exist. They're going to fight. And and our people, Biden's people, have just, I mean, they are just blind to the realities of the situation. And so, you know, we have the biggest war in Europe since World War II, biggest war in the Middle East since 1973, and I greatly fear it's about to get bigger. Bad decisions have consequences, and Biden and his people have made a lot of bad decisions.
Senator Jim Talent, chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council, a guest here this afternoon, at Jim Talent on Twitter, X. Senator, we had another horrific story here in the United States of America over the weekend, something that is becoming a horrible routine. You know, every time there is any sort of crime involving a firearm, it's front page news for days or weeks. Everybody rushes to their propaganda podiums to make their political points. But we've had, it seems, just as many, if not more, incidences this year of illegal immigrants from other countries with long rap sheets, sometimes for horrific crimes, raping, assaulting, killing Americans. It happened again in Maryland. A mother of five was raped and killed back in 2003. They have allegedly found the perpetrator. He was a migrant from El Salvador who committed a similar crime back in his home country. I mean, Senator, you know, with this wide open southern border, we can talk all we want Pollyannishly about the importance of other countries' borders, but we better start taking care of our own, right?
I mean, I don't know how many, nobody knows how many illegal aliens have come over the border, 10 million, 12 million. Well, if it's even a small fraction of those who are gangsters or violent criminals or drug dealers, and it is, or Chinese agents or terrorists, we've let an enormous number of violent people into the country. I mean, even Chris Wray keeps testifying before the Congress that the threat environment is getting worse and worse, right? And it's because of this. This is a reason why you protect your borders. I mean, fellas, when I was, and it's been a while since I was in the Congress, we never argued over whether we ought to prevent illegal immigration. Mm. We really didn't. I mean, we argued about how great legal immigration should be, and there was a big discussion about what to do with people who come in here illegally but been here a long time and had kept their noses clean. And reasonable people can argue about all that, but there's a reason why you protect the border. And it's both to control the level of immigration for the sake of the economy and your own workers. We ought to spare them a thought, don't you think? Mm-hmm. But it's also because if you don't protect the border, you get a bunch of people coming in for very nefarious purposes. And this is what we've got. And I tell you, next January can't come soon enough. I just hope and I believe we're going to get an administration that's going to do something about it. But in the meantime, we're going to have to find where all these people are. It's almost a dead cert that we're going to see more of this until we remedy this situation, Tim. I mean, this is just, I mean, what most people feel about this, and I don't need the polls to tell me, is correct. This was just crazy. So yes, we need the wall. Yes, we need vigorous enforcement. And yes, we're going to need special efforts to track down people who are in the country illegally and deport them when we find them.
Senator, usually we have you on talking about military and foreign policy. We use your expertise to inform the listeners. But you also are a former attorney and an officer of the court. And I want to play this. I want to get your opinion when we come back.
The next president is likely to have two new Supreme Court nominees. Two more. he's already appointed two that have been very negative in terms of the rights of individuals. The idea that if he's reelected, he's going to appoint two more flying flags upside down is really, I really mean it.
Could this be the scariest part of all of it?
Well, I think it is one of the scariest parts.
I mean, these attacks from ProPublica, specifically on Alito and Thomas, do those remarks cross the line, in your opinion?
Yeah, the reference to the upside-down flag crosses the line. It's legitimate for him to say, you should vote for me because I'll appoint better Supreme Court justices. I mean, Trump said the same thing. Mm-hmm. But this reference to this flag, it's of a piece with their attack on the Supreme Court, and it's an attack on judicial independence. And, guys, I was on a task force the Reagan Institute did about, we called it Westminster 2.0. It was studying how we could update the pro-democracy movement that Ronald Reagan started, by the way, in the early 1980s. And we had to define what democracy was. And really, it comes down to two things. One of them is recurring elections to choose who ought to be in power, but the other is the rule of law. And the most important thing or foundation of the rule of law is judicial independence, robust judicial independence, so that you can enforce the rights you do have against the state. Because democracies differ as to how much, you know, rights people ought to have. Like, they're much more restrictive of speech in Europe. But you have to be able to enforce the rights you do have. And all of these so-called ethical issues being raised are attacks on the independence of the Supreme Court and therefore of the whole judiciary. And this coming from the crowd that says they want to defend democracy and they're worried about what Trump might do. So I think people see through it. And I think we've got a pretty distinguished Supreme Court. And even if we didn't, that's not an excuse to attack its independence.
Senator, disturbing headline. Another disturbing headline today is regarding Little Rocket Man, as Donald Trump called Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea. Apparently, Vladimir Putin's going to be paying Kim Jong-un a visit as military cooperation between Russia and North Korea increases. Senator, what type of military cooperation do you think Putin and or Kim Jong-un is searching for? Is this something to worry about, or is this just Vladimir Putin once again, you know, kind of making sure that everybody pays attention to him, as he always is? He's really clever at getting international headlines.
Yeah, I think it's mostly the latter. I'm much more worried about their military cooperation with China, and they've engaged in training exercises with China. It's part of their commitment to unlimited friendship, as Xi Jinping put it. But it's also, again, and this is like the visit of the Russian warships to Cuba last week. It's a signal that Russia can threaten us in our hemisphere. But it's also a reflection of the fact that that we haven't deterred them. They don't fear us at all. And why should they? Mm-hmm. After what we did with Afghanistan, that pullout, that disaster, what's happening in Eastern Europe, what's happening in the Middle East. I mean, it's been one, if I said it's appeasement, that would suggest it's a policy. I just think it's a series of feckless decisions. Mm-hmm. And the United States is not respected. And again, the irony is, of course, they told us, well, if Trump becomes president, we won't be respected around the world. Well, right. What do people think of us now?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Senator, on Thursdays, we have Steve Bucci, who is a military expert over the Heritage Foundation. I asked him about this last Thursday. I want to ask you about it today, about our allies are warning former fighter pilots not to train Chinese military members. Does this surprise you at all?
No, they have lots of ways of trying to gain our expertise and our technology. They opened up their financial sector a couple years ago, and what they wanted was our companies to come in and show them how to operate a financial sector. And they have all kinds of means of doing this, which are often deceptive. So it's a useful warning. First of all, there's really no reason to be going to China and training any Chinese pilots. But if anybody's training Chinese pilots and thinking they're not PLA, People's Liberation Army Air Force, they're probably being kidded. So I'm glad they put that warning out, and patriotic Americans ought to avoid contributing to China. They also have something called civil-military fusion, which is a deliberate program to be able to, as quickly as possible, use civilian resources in the event of a conflict. So, for example, they have adjusted their ferries and their barges so they can carry an invading force to Taiwan because they're short of shipping. It's one of the obstacles they still have to overcome if they were going to do a landing on Taiwan. So, yeah, people should be careful.
Senator, thank you so much. Before we let you go, is there anything happening at the Reagan Institute you want to direct our attention to?
We're doing our National Leadership Council Summit, obviously, in about 2 weeks. And we always combine that with a dinner with our strategy group, which is these young, up-and-coming, really sound national security people. So I sort of hang around as a gray beard, you know, and I'm really looking forward to those panels and that discussion. So, yeah, we're doing things all the time. We just celebrated the 80th anniversary of D-Day, and I think I mentioned in the show last week that those who want to hear a good D-Day speech by a president, just go to the Reagan Foundation website and Google the Boys of Pointe du Hoc, which was the speech Reagan gave 40 years ago. It's a great speech. Only 13 minutes long. It won't take much of your time.
Fantastic. We've been speaking with Jim Talent, former U.S. Senator and chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council. Senator, thank you as always for your time, and we look forward to speaking with you again next Monday.
I'll be here.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And 4:45, which is the time right now, so we'll say 4:48. 4:49, Chris's Corner. We'll talk about the 50th anniversary of a book that exposed Watergate and the irony that there's a Watergate-style scandal going on right now, but the press is doing a hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil stance. We'll talk about that on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewsTalkSTL.com.
Instead of Republicans, you know, focusing on the president's performance in office and what he's been able to accomplish, his actual record, they do these cheap fakes. They're cheap fakes. And you're asking me about the Maloney, you're asking me what happened. That video, video was, okay, let's talk about Juneteenth. The president stood there listening to the music and he didn't dance. Excuse me, I did not know not dancing was a mental, it was a health issue.
4:52 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Mistake there that KJP made, saying a mental health issue. Should not have said that. Said a health issue as well. And she has a tough job. Any of the people that are defenders of Joe Biden have a really tough job. And I heard them yesterday, some of the things that they were saying, talking about that Joe Biden has the most diverse cabinet and Joe Biden is doing this for green energy. It's like, girl, do you realize that gas prices are $4 a gallon and people are paying such and such for groceries? Nobody gives a damn that Joe Biden has the most diverse cabinet in history. They're just absolutely, absolutely clueless on that, Tim. He has a lot of troubles ahead of him, especially with this debate performance coming up, but also Hunter Biden, his son, his gun or his IRS charges trial is in this fall, and so that just adds more drama to the Bidens. Let's talk about that next on Chris's Corner.
Chris. And if you don't know, now you know.
And now, Chris's Corner.
You know, I also talked about how I watched the Sunday shows, and they were telling us this was the 50th anniversary of Woodward and Bernstein's classic book, All the President's Men, that detailed the Watergate break-in. Of course, these two older statesmen journalists were being lauded about all of the great work that they did saving democracy and all the risk that they took to do this, and, you know, how their book, their investigation helped take down a president who was corrupt in their mind. And all the time while I'm watching all of this, I'm thinking about the previous shows that we've done here on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, where we've talked about the mountain and mountain and mountain of evidence that is against Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. You know, we've talked about the meetings with the Russian oligarch at the restaurant in Washington, D.C., and a couple of hours later, $1 million check shows up in one of Hunter Biden's bank accounts. We've seen the text messages that Hunter Biden sent out saying that if you don't send the money, I've got the big guy right here with me. Make sure that this happens. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And voila, things happened that they want. We heard, of course, originally about Joe Biden and the Ukrainian prosecutor who, son of a bitch, was the he was fired. after firing the prosecutor. That's all things that, you know, we all kind of know about. But there's other shady things that have been going on that we may not have really been able to follow that closely because there's been so much on the President Trump's troubles. Let's go into some of this stuff Hunter Biden. Now, we know that the Bidens have a money laundering operation going with Hunter Biden's art, where Hunter Biden all of a sudden puts out $1.5 million masterpieces, the former crackhead. New York Times has looked into this some. Julie Jacobs, she said she took a closer look at Hunter Biden's art sales. Apparently, they're smaller than the amounts that the New York Gallery was originally reported to be selling the pieces for. One of the pieces sold for $1.5 million, and the president's son received $131,000. Do you think Hunter Biden can produce art that's worth $130,000? I've got a bridge in Brooklyn I want to sell you. Jim Biden, he's just as shady as Joe Biden. He was at the trial of Hunter Biden and was reportedly visibly upset that Hunter Biden was found guilty. President Biden's brother Joe, he partnered with Qatari officials on various business ventures, according to recent testimony in a Kentucky bankruptcy court. If true, and this is political now, if true, the alleged arrangements would be the closest links between the Biden family and a foreign government, though the dealings occurred between Joe Biden's stint as vice president and his return to the White House. You know, we also have a case here. The feds recently sought information about Jim Biden's business dealings in two cases. Federal investigators in South Florida recently probed transactions linked to Jim Biden as part of a criminal investigation, according to two people with the matter. I could go on and on. Jim Biden was involved with a hospital chain where he received a big upfront payment, didn't follow through on what he was supposed to do, stole the money, basically. But Watergate, there's a much bigger scandal brewing, but apparently no one wants to win any Pulitzer Prizes anymore. And that's Chris's Corner, 507 Speaker Stump Speech.
We're talking about the fact, Chris, that masks once again have proven they didn't work.
Stop. Wow, imagine that. And at 524, Susie Moore, Deputy Managing Editor at RedState.com. We'll talk about her more to the point commentary and the big headlines on Red State. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewsTalkSTL.com.